St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and he did not deny it. "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptized. The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, here we are, the third week of Advent, the third Sunday in Advent. We're only a week removed away from the big celebration on Christmas Eve. But we're smack dab in the middle of the season of waiting, the season of anticipation, the season of preparation. And it's interesting now, last week we had the scriptures from Isaiah about the voice in the wilderness preparing the way, and then also the same scripture mirrored in the Gospel according to Mark about John the Baptist being that voice calling out in the wilderness. Now here for a second week, we have this same dynamic at play. We have this same introduction to John the Baptist, the prophet, who is calling out to the people, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Certainly, God is getting our attention. God is calling us to prepare for something, and prepare for something big, something wonderful. And the scriptures that we have, the things that we see, these are all signs that the celebration is on its way. The Christ child, we celebrate his birth once more, and we look forward to Christ coming again. You know, the world is filled with signs at this time of year. Signs that the Christmas holiday is coming. And the world looks at Christmas just a little bit differently than the church does. And for the world, the signs of the coming Christmas might be huge, colorful light displays. City streets are lit up with fancy decorations. County parks and state parks have their drive-through light displays that you can go see. The stores are filled with posters and decorations. And of course, they have those doorbuster sales that go on. Those things where items that are too good to be true, reduced at such a low price, so they can guarantee to sell a bunch of them, so they can wrap them up and put them under your tree. These are the signs of the world's rendition. Christmas. You know, they're common signs for the world. We know that as we see these things, December 25th is on its way. We know that as we see these things, Christmas is certainly coming. We recognize those signs. But you know, for the church, there's a whole different celebration to be had. For the church, the season of Advent isn't pretty much what the world sees. What the world sees is a pre-season towards Christmas. But what the church recognized, what the people of God recognized, that there are signs that are out there that are pointing us to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming that we await for, his second coming, as he comes again in glory to take us to where he is. And there are signs that we see all over the place. We have several signs. We have the banner over there by the organ. have an Advent wreath here with blue candles and one white one in the center. And as we light the blue candles, we know we are drawing closer and closer and closer to the feast of the Nativity of our Lord. We're also drawing ever so closer to Jesus coming again. With each candle that we light, we are one day closer to that day of God's choosing, when the Son will return and take us to where He is. These are signs for all the world to see. They might not recognize, the world might not recognize these signs, but they're there for everyone to see and recognize that the Lord's day is coming. And then there's those signs that aren't so visible. Yet, you know, perhaps those signs that aren't so visible are the most recognizable and most powerful of all. Take our scripture lesson today. Today we have three scripture lessons that have to do with the signs of Jesus coming. They point us to the original signs of Advent. Isaiah, John the Baptist, and even Jesus himself. Our gospel text tells us that John the Baptist appeared on the countryside. He was a man sent by God. He appeared on the Judean countryside, and he was baptized with people. That wasn't the norm for somebody to be out in the wilderness baptizing without authorization from the temple. But John was in the wilderness baptizing people, drawing great crowds from the cities all around. He attracted a lot of attention. And it wasn't just the fact that he was baptizing, it was the message that he had. So those who came out to John out there in the area of the Jordan, they were curious. They had heard some things that sounded familiar. Prepare the way of the Lord. Even the temple authorities were curious. They were interested in what John was doing. You know, for over 400 years, the prophets of God remained silent. Since the time of his earth returned to exile and the time of the rebuilding of the temple, God's prophets were silent. And then John appeared. This new voice. This strange-looking man dressed in camel hair and leather, with a strange diet, eating locusts and honey, as we read last week. Could this be a sign that God is about to do something? Could the appearance of a man such as John the Baptist, proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path, could this be a sign that something is about to happen? You know, the people in Jerusalem, they were looking for signs. They were looking for the Messiah. They had lived for so long under the occupation of foreign governments, under foreign kings and rulers. Yet they had the promise from long ago that God would indeed one day restore David's throne. And so they were tuned in. They were looking for the signs that the Messiah may indeed be coming. John appeared in the wilderness. He appeared in the midst of this Roman life that was so difficult. He appeared in the midst of poverty, of hunger, of so many things that were working against God's people. He appeared to a Jewish population that was hoping that he would be the one that would rescue them and drive the Roman down. With these high expectations, the priests and the Levites were protected. Were sent out by the Pharisees to question John. Are you the Messiah? Are you maybe Elijah? Are you the prophet that is to come? All of these questions. What was right there in front of John? And John said, no, he is not. There is another who has come. So powerful, so magnificent. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And so the Pharisees, the Levites, the priests, they were left waiting, anticipating. They were left to continue to look for the signs. In this Advent time, the season of waiting, the season of looking forward to Christ coming again, we are also looking for the signs. and it would point to Jesus' coming. Yet this waiting that we do, this waiting in his advent time, is not a time where we just sit back and wait as the world waits. There's a mission to be done. Much like John the Baptist and John the Mission, there's a mission to be done. We've all been blessed with the words of the prophets. We've all been blessed with God's word handed down through Scripture. We've all been blessed with the voice of the prophet crying out, prepare the way. We know that God is going to do something. He's going to do something magnificent. The other thing that we're blessed with, we are blessed with the gospel message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen and the promise that he will come again. So as we read the Gospels, as we read all these things concerning Jesus Christ, we wait not as the world waits, but as the people of God wait in expectation. We have a vision that's asked for us in Scripture. Isaiah points out the vision that we're to be about. He tells us that we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to proclaim to the mountaintops, proclaim with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, and the salvation is coming to God's people. He even tells us what it looks like. As we prepare the way of the Lord, we turn our attention to those who are supposed to be the recipients of the good news. According to Isaiah, that's the poor, the oppressed, the brokenhearted, the captive, those who mourn, and those who are poor in spirit. You know, just a few weeks ago, Christ the King Sunday, we heard a parable taught by our Lord Jesus. And it's a parable that's familiar. You know it well. The parable of the shepherd and the king separating the people as the shepherd separates sheep from the goats. A few weeks ago we heard this parable. And we know that the sheep were placed at the king's right hand and the goats at the left. And the king commended those on his right hand for the ministry and the mission that they had done in response to hearing the gospel message. And at the same time, he rebuked those who are on his left for their failure to do so, their lack of showing God's love. As we do these things, as we follow the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we take up our cross and we follow it, as we love God with all our heart and we love our neighbor as ourselves, not only do we become tuned in to the signs of Advent, we become signs of Advent. We become signs for the world, signs pointing that Jesus is coming again. As we show the love of God towards others, we point them to the grace and mercy and the love of God. We prepare the world for the coming banquet, the feast that is to come. We prepare the world to receive the King coming in glory. Our mission. It's much like John the Baptist. Look here on the countryside. Look here in the wilderness. And to proclaim that people should prepare the way of the Lord. Make this pass. Our mission is to do this not for our own salvation, but for the sake of others. Our salvation is secured through our baptism. God has made us his children through our baptism. He has forgiven us our sins. He has sanctified us. He has made us pure, white as snow. He sees us only through the lens of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. He remembers our sin no more. And he promises eternal life. So the mission is not ours to earn heaven. The mission is ours so that others might come and receive this good news. This good news of Christ Jesus. We are the Advent signs for the world. Earlier in Isaiah, God speaks to his people, telling him, I will give you to be light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Jesus says in the Gospel, we are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others, that others might see your good works, and give glory to God in heaven. God gives his church to the world. God gives his church to the world for the sake of the world. The very word in the Greek language, the us to go out into. There's a wilderness for us to obey, where others have not heard the gospel, or they haven't heard it for a very, very long time. As we go out, we prepare the way. We proclaim the truth of Christ Jesus. We proclaim what John would write in the third chapter, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We proclaim the truth of God's mercy, grace, and love. Not so much so that we have to say it, but also by the way we live our lives. By giving ourselves away to the poor, the hungry, to the marginalized, to ministering to those who have so little. To do these things unselfishly. Just as Christ gave his life for us unselfishly. We do this so that others may come to see the glory of God. So that others might come to the churches, much like St. Jacob's, to come and hear the gospel, to come and pray with God's people, to come and sing the psalms and the hymns declaring God's praise, to come and understand that, yes, God does claim his children through baptism, to come and see and hear the gospel so that they too might say, look, there's water. What's the remedy for being baptized? This is the mission of the church. This is the mission of God's people, no matter where we gather, whether it's here in Chapin or whether it's in Columbia or whether it's anywhere else in the world. The mission is the same. Go into the world, make disciples, baptize, and teach. As we do these things, we remember that Jesus is with us. He's already paid our debt. He's already forgiven our sins. There is nothing that can snatch us from the Father's hand. So as we come to worship faithfully, as we come to hear the good news, as we gather at the table and receive God's grace through the bread that's broken and the wine that's poured, we become stronger in our faith. We become living signs of advent. And in doing these things, we prepare the way for our Lord God. People of God, this is the Christian life. This is the Christian message. This is the mission that we're sent upon. We're sent upon this mission by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. He's given us the authority to proclaim his good news. He's given us the authority to care for others who might be forgotten by society. And he's given us the assurance that as we do these things, no matter how difficult they become, he is there to feed us, to strengthen us, to guard us, to protect us. He's there to sanctify us, to make us holy for the sake of the world and for those who hear the gospel message through him. And as Paul says in our second lesson, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. May God bless you today, tomorrow, and always as you go out and you share this good news of faith and the word of the Lord. Until that day when he